Take or my take at thetakeaway.org. It is my great pleasure this morning to introduce Jerome Vaughn, who's a news director and program director at WDET, the public radio station, part of the public radio system there in Detroit, where we go on the air at this moment. I mean, we are on the air as of this morning.
It's a great pleasure to be here, and we're glad to have you on in Detroit. I've been looking for something new, something to tell the city what's going on around the rest of the world, and where else than here to rely on it?
Well, we spend so much time going to Detroit, whether it's your reporters or people in the Detroit area, to really get a feel for what's going on with the stimulus package and just how the economy is really manifesting itself in your community. This seems to be a really crucial time to be bringing the Detroit community into this conversation. What are some of the headlines?
Well, I mean, you've hit the nail on the head. What Detroiters are thinking about, worrying about all the time now, or, you know, what's going on with the auto industry, that ripples out into jobs, that ripples out into the foreclosures, that ripples out into the neighborhoods and how they're surviving. And so that's what people are thinking about and digesting just about every day.
And we're going to be relying on you all week to be a co-host eventually in the next couple of days on the program. But when you get back to Detroit, bringing people from your community into that conversation. I grew up in Western Michigan, which is a whole different world than Detroit. But still, you know, I think the voices of the people actually on this main street, this very important main street, are very, very important voices. And we're going to be relying on you.
Well, we're going to do our best to bring you that day in and day out as much as we can. You know, Detroit is ahead of the curve as far as this financial problem goes. We've been in bad shape for a while, and hopefully there'll be some solutions there that the rest of the country can chime in on.
And if not, you can just focus on the Tigers, right? Oh, maybe not. Maybe not. That's been a painful subject.
Better than the Lions, at
Better
least.
Than the Lions. Yes, indeed. Well, we are going to talk baseball this morning because the wind chill here in New York is about 14 degrees. It's a perfect time to talk baseball with our friend Jeff Beresford Howe, Takeaway Sports contributor. He's out in Los Angeles. And Jeff, first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
And meet Jerome Vaughn of WDET.
Nice to meet you, Jerome.
Now, go ahead, say.
Good to meet you,
Jeff. Be a good host, John, for heaven's sakes. Now, Jeff, you observed, as part of your coverage of the opening of the college baseball season, a phenomenon which could have a big impact on the lineup of baseball teams going forward in the pros. Explain what it is you've discovered and who you talked to try to get to the roots of it.
Went to games this weekend at the Urban Youth Academy in Compton, California. Compton, if you don't know, is a city a little bit south of Los Angeles, mostly minority, very, very poor, a lot of gangs, only half the kids who go to school, high school there graduate. And it's the center of an effort by Major League Baseball to try and reintroduce young African Americans to baseball.
And the statistics of the kinds of players that you met there would suggest that African-American participation in baseball at the college level is going down precipitously.
Participation in the college level for African-Americans is virtually nil. At this point, only 6% of college baseball players are African-American, but that figure is distorted by a few historically black colleges. In the Pac-10, for example, which is the best baseball conference in the country, only about 3% of the players are black, 15 black players in the entire Pac-10.
How much of this is a result of the proliferation over the last few years of baseball camps, kind of high-end baseball camps in communities all over the country, where the tuition is hardly affordable by people other than, you know, maybe some upscale white families?
It's a combination of the camps, the so-called traveling squads, which give a real immersion in baseball experience and top-level coaching. It's also the fact, as Daryl Miller, who runs the Youth Academy, likes to point out, that in college baseball, there is only one black coach at an upper-level Division I school, and those the white coaches are just not reaching out into the black community to find kids to play.
Well, let's hear to what something of what Daryl Miller told you when you spoke over the weekend. Here he is.
We see most of our kids are focused a lot more on football because there's 80 scholarship opportunities. Baseball has 11.7, so most of those are partial scholarships that are given out. And if you're economically disadvantaged, if you do the math, that doesn't work for you at a major university. Or basketball scholarships. There's 15 scholarships, and there's 12 guys on a team. Everyone on that team has a full ride.
You know, that he lays out the economics there. And Jerome, I'm wondering if that is something that resonates with you. You've got 70, 80 kids who are thinking about the pro sports, maybe?
No, just two right now. But I guess it is a good question. I mean, if you're looking at the economics, I mean, I know so many kids in Detroit that don't even have a baseball glove. What I want to know, Jeff, is how long, why did it take so long for Major League Baseball to catch on?
Well, the figures for African-Americans in Major League Baseball have been dropping for years. It was 27% Major League players in 1975, and it's about 8% now. I think what got people's attention was when teams started to begin the season with no African-American players on their roster. Recently, the Atlanta Braves and the Houston Astros both did that. There's a good chance the Oakland A's are going to do that this year. And black players in baseball, many of whom are now who played in the 60s and 70s are now in positions of authority, began to sound the alarm. They said, hey, where are all the kids? That when we went to school, 6, 7, 8 kids on our high school teams would play minor league baseball, and some of those would make the majors. And right now we're seeing at schools like Crenshaw in Los Angeles, which used to be a baseball factory, you're seeing no kids.
Well, let's get it
to college, let alone the pros.
Let's hear a voice from Crenshaw, and then in a couple of seconds, just a reaction, because this is a fascinating statement from a kid named Cameron Hart.
I chose baseball over football because I've always been good in football. Anybody can play football, but it takes a 75% cerebral person and 25% athletic person to play baseball, and you can't find that in everyone.
Jeff, take us out on that. That's fascinating.
Well, Cameron is dealing with his strong suit there. He's at Cal on a full academic scholarship. The kid is really bright. But, kids, what Cameron calls the LeBron factor, kids are focusing on basketball and football
right
and just don't see baseball as a way to go forward.
Right. Jeff Barrister, Ohio Takeaway Sports Contributor, thanks for joining us. And Jerome, thanks for being with us. More this week.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.